Come stay and play at Live Casino and Hotel. Welcome to one of the biggest casinos in the country with luxurious clean rooms, upscale dining, and the grandest payouts. Now offering stay and play and all-in packages, including $50 free slot play, VIP parking, VIP casino access, and more. Book now at livecasino.com or call 443-445-2929. At Arundel Mills, must be 21, please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgambling.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, this is Alexia Georgiou. I am a life coach. Welcome to episode 5 of The Resilient Pathway, How Do We Change a Culture? This is going to apply to community, individuals, organizations, a place of worship, government, anything that you can think of where we can change culture. This is actually being implemented in governments. So stay tuned. Alexia Georgiou, life coach, theresilientpathway.com. You can reach me at alexia@theresilientpathway.com. That's alexia@theresilientpathway.com. Welcome to episode 5 of The Resilient Pathway, How to Change a Culture. What is resilience? It's the ability to recover from setbacks and adapt to challenging circumstances. It's a tool, a skill to thrive and flourish in life and work. We feel effective and capable when we build the muscle of resilience. Every podcast, we will share a resilience-building activity. These are small, incremental, win-forming habits. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe. Be the best, create the best, choose the best. These are happy people habits. I had the privilege to hear a professor from Northwest University. He is in the School of Medicine there, and his name is Wei-Jen Wang. He has a PhD. And I just wanted to describe what it was like being in his class. I walked in. I was the first person to walk in. And I knew that I was going to learn about culture and diversity. He looked at me as he was preparing for his talk, and he thanked me for being there. I proceeded to watch as other registrants walked in, and he greeted them the same way. He put on some relaxing music. Thank you for being here, is what he was saying. So from the beginning, he was practicing his model, role modeling it to us, how to create healthy culture, how to change culture. So the model that he shared with us is actually being implemented worldwide. And it was very moving to watch someone that has taken his program the other side of the world come and ask for a photo opportunity with him, to hug him, and to say thank you. There was just a lot of love and gratitude in the room. So he did talk about starting off with love. What are the three keys to love? And hang in there, because this has to do with managing conflict, building resilience, how to handle a crisis. So the three keys to love is being able to manage our differences within a conflict, intentionally strengthening the relationship, and nurturing our true self. So here at The Resilient Pathway, we do talk a lot about our self-care and how we need to take care of ourselves before we can take care of anyone else. We also talking about building a sense of community and how important connection is to life satisfaction and to even corporations. Anywhere where we're interacting with others, community and connection is key to success. And then anywhere where you have people, you're going to have conflict. There are going to be differences. And how do we manage that conflict? The answer is with love. There are two forces in this world. It's either love or fear. So that's the root of what we're dealing with. And so if we can counteract that fear with the principles of love, we will win every time. This is what today's podcast is about. We definitely want to motivate others. We want to reach out and connect with them. We want to inspire them. Leadership is about understanding the connection with others. According to Zig Ziglar, 15% of what it takes is our skill set to get the job done. 85% is our people skills. So think about that. The last podcast we were episode 3, we were talking about Martin Seligman and his study on optimism with MetLife and how the optimistic performers, even though they didn't pass the aptitude test for sales, they outperformed those who were pessimists who scored high on the aptitude test for sales by 53%. So again, the statistic by Zig Ziglar gives a lot of weight that every day to be successful, we have to develop our people skills. We have to put our heart before our head to be successful. Getting in touch with our emotional beings is very important. And when we neglect that, we're reacting. And when we react, we can be very harmful because the emotion isn't contained. It's important to manage conflict with emotional closeness and to, again, be in touch with our own emotions. So how do we do that? So I watched the professor practice his steps, and I'm going to share his 10-step recovery to conflict. And I actually watched him begin and end his talk with appreciation. And that is what he role modeled to us, and that is what he teaches in how to move through conflict resolution. So when there's pain and blame, this is a relational killer. When there's pain without blame, we make a connection. Those are really powerful concepts to latch onto. So we begin with appreciation. We're in a situation, there's conflict, it doesn't feel good to anybody. And so we want to say, thank you for being here. Can you imagine, whether there's conflict or not, you go into a place of business and they are greeting you with appreciation. I know I would want to go back there. And I know how I felt during this talk where he was deliberately beginning the talk with the appreciation. It felt really nice being there. I felt comfortable. I felt open to learning and immense respect for this professor. So can you imagine greeting people and saying, thank you for being here. Thank you for coming to my store. That definitely has a positive effect because we're engaging people, we're making connection. Also, imagine walking into your boss's office and they say, thank you for coming to meet with me. Or you're a bus and you walk into a team meeting and you say, thank you, everyone, for being here. Now, of course, they're going to be there because you're paying them and there's consequences if they're not there. Still, we can still say, you know, everybody, thank you for being present in this meeting. And so then that puts our minds, gives us the awareness that there are many distractions, there are many stressors, and the expectation is to be present together in the gathering. And so that's a great way to begin a meeting with appreciation. Again, we're talking about how to change a culture. Why is culture important? Culture is very important because if you've ever worked in an environment that it has a lot of stress, there's a lot of fear, and there aren't many positives, that affects us. And that causes the employee to disengage. And so having a healthy culture, fostering that, you have to work hard at it. It does not come easy. This applies to a place of worship, to any place of work. This applies to a government, how it's operated, and it applies to our family. So in life, we experience an event. That event causes feelings. And due to those feelings, there's a need. So it's important to use the format, when I feel blank, I think I need blank. So when we feel angry, ask ourselves, what do I need? And again, is anger based in fear or love? It is based in fear. So what am I afraid of at this moment? And a lot of times when we're angry, we feel a loss of control. We're not feeling heard. That may be what it is. And whatever it is, whatever our need is. So again, just think about that. There's an event, we have a feeling, and we have an identified need because of that emotion. Emotion is not weakness. It's important to be in touch with the emotion so we can manage it and have a sense of control. And we all have emotions, whether we're in touch with them or not. And it's really important as human beings to get in touch with our emotions. So a lot of times we're asking those in life coaching, how did you feel? It's not a therapy session. This is the reason that we're asking, is to be able to identify what's the root cause. And what's the need? Is it fear or love? And what do you need? And to be able to identify that. And many times people will identify the thought or the need and they'll skip the feeling. Why is that so threatening? Why is that so hard? Because it's painful to feel and we want to avoid it. And because we're avoiding those feelings, we have the repercussions, and it causes health problems because you can't stuff that stuff down on the inside without having it affect your body. So just remember, pain and blame are relational killers. Pain minus blame brings connection, and we want to foster connection. Anytime that we're managing conflict, isn't the end result to connect and solve the problem? So that's our next step, is what's the relational goal? We want to learn how to communicate better so there isn't another conflict. Or when another conflict arises, we can work through it and flow through it and function better as a team. So you can apply this to a marriage. You can apply this to a parent-child relationship. It's very applicable because we're listening and we're focused on relational. So then we want to take responsibility. We want to say, okay, my relational goal is I want to get along with this person. I think we communicate differently. I think we process things differently. I would like to understand them better so we can accomplish our goal and be efficient. So that's our relational goal. And then we want to take responsibility for our part. A lot of times as parents, this is difficult for us. And boy, the role modeling that we will give that child is immense because we're teaching with humility. And it shows a lot of strength to be able to apologize for what we can do better and to lead with that. Then that disarms the other person. And so I'm saying, hey, I apologize. This is how I can improve. Next step, you're asking the person how they can improve. Now, before you got there, you started with, I apologize. This is how I can improve. And then you're expecting something from them as well, because relational is two ways. This is only win-win when we can foster this kind of communication. The last step is again appreciation. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking your time to go through this process. Listening is loving. Empathy brings healing. Love brings out the best in each other. Again, what if the world operated this way? Where we said, okay, we're going to focus on fostering love and community and healthy culture wherever we are. Again, I did take the class from Wharton Online called Leadership in the 21st Century, and there was a module where the organizational psychologist talked about love at work, and it was humorous. She said, not that kind of love, this kind of love. And she was talking about how it's important to have a sense of community at work. And that's what we're trending towards. That's a good thing because that's creating a healthy culture. People want to belong. People want to feel cared for and needed. What would happen if we walked into a place of worship and it was a healing community where everyone was thriving? That would just have such a positive effect naturally on us that we were relating to such a healthy culture. What would happen if a government was concerned about the well-being of their citizens? And there are governments who are appointing happiness ministers, and there's that word again, happiness. They are viewing happiness as a science, a skill, a culture where well-being is in the forefront. And from the studies that we've already shared in these podcasts, and there are many more to come, we find that when the citizens are well emotionally, when their brains are functioning optimally, that they will be engaged and that they will produce and they will have motivation. And the motivation will be internal with something that brings them meaning and is purposeful. What I find interesting is Martin Seligman, who developed the model of well-being called PERMA, you know, he says you have to find meaning in something greater than yourself. And he's not, I don't think he's a specific religion. I've never heard him talk about it. And it just speaks to me I really value that he's saying that because I do believe it's important to find meaning in something greater than ourselves. And I can see when I'm excited about something, it's usually because I'm highly motivated from the inside. And that's where we're going to see engagement and volunteerism and positive change. And if you're asking which countries have appointed happiness ministers, just know that this is a topic in the forefront of the United Nations, Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, Australia, New Zealand. Just look up happiness minister with these countries and look at what they are doing. There are also chief well-being officers being established in hospital systems. This I know of is happening in the Northeast. So Massachusetts Hospital Systems, Harvard Medical Center, University of Pennsylvania just appointed a chief medical officer. And so they're seeing that there is resilience in the doctors, and the doctors are being burned out, and it's because of the broken system. So these chief wellness officers are going in, and they're investigating, and they're understanding, and it's their job to develop and implement a healthy culture, fostering well-being, a system that works for healthcare. So I'm really excited to see this happening in our country and around the world. Creating healthy culture with love is in the forefront of a lot of people's minds. It is part of the pathway of resilience. It takes a lot of resilience to be able to manage conflict and work through it and bring those virtues in of humility and gratitude. That shows a lot of strength. And so again, I want to recognize that the doctor from Northwestern University, Dr. Wei-Jen Wang, he has a wonderful model. He's teaching many people around the world, and it's making a huge difference. And he is on the resilient pathway. I know he mentioned the Harvard 80-year study on happiness that he is teaching people. This is what happiness is about. It's not about the material things showing us and giving us status in society. It goes a lot deeper. This is what the research showed across socioeconomic levels, what fosters happiness. And if you want to have great success with your family, with your organization, with your government, focus on these things. And the one thing that the happiness research study showed, connection is key. And before our eyes gloss over, I'm hearing this as a thread because the professionals are implementing this research data and they're latching onto it worldwide and saying, okay, 80 years of studying people and they reported less pain or being able to manage the pain better because they had loved ones they knew they could depend on, and that made all the difference. They had less memory decline. They had healthier brain functioning because of the connection that they reported. These are significant findings because it's a little different than how we are functioning now as a society, and we need to make these shifts to a more healthy culture. We're going to live longer and healthier, and it's really important to have that life satisfaction as we age. And why do we care about our aging population and reducing the memory decline? They have so much to give back. If you've ever been around a truly successful, grounded person who's accomplished a lot in their lives, what they do is they give back. Truly successful people give back. And the ones that I'm meeting, they are a little older. They have strong brain functioning, and they are true mentors in my life, and I have a lot of gratitude for them. So our skill for the week is creating healthy culture with love. Remember, you begin a meeting with gratitude, you end the meeting with gratitude. Thank you.
Come stay and play at Live Casino and Hotel. Welcome to one of the biggest casinos in the country with luxurious clean rooms, upscale dining, and the grandest payouts. Now offering stay and play and all-in packages, including $50 free slot play, VIP parking, VIP casino access, and more. Book now at livecasino.com or call 443-445-2929. At Arundel Mills, must be 21, please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgambling.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, this is Alexia Georgiou. I am a life coach. If you would like to talk more about how to create a healthy culture in your organization, contact me today, alexia@theresilientpathway.com. That's alexia@theresilientpathway.com.
Have you been wanting to lose weight and get healthy? Now's the perfect time to start Nutrisystem. Enjoy your favorite foods made healthier, delivered free to your door. Right now, you can get Uniquely Yours Ultimate, our most complete foolproof plan at an amazing price. Order today and save 50%, plus get an extra $40 off. Go to Nutrisystem.com/save and discover what millions of people already know. Nutrisystem works. Limitations apply. See website for full offer details.
Come stay and play at Live Casino and Hotel. Welcome to one of the biggest casinos in the country with luxurious clean rooms, upscale dining, and the grandest payouts. Now offering stay and play and all-in packages, including $50 free slot play, VIP parking, VIP casino access, and more. Book now at livecasino.com or call 443-445-2929. At Arundel Mills, must be 21, please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgambling.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER.